Super Tuesday at the City Hall Council. Met till about 1:45 in the morning.
What time did they start?
Ooh.
How many hours?
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
So this is after a day at work for many of them.
Yeah, yeah. So Joe Swan did do his recommendation about relooking at this whole committee deal and slicing it all down to three committees. Reminds me of Board of Control all over again.
Very big of him. He got us into this, or helped to.
Executive committee, that's what they're looking for.
Translation, Board of Control.
Shh, shh. But we saved a lot of money here. So let's take a look at outcomes. Fluoride, the vote was 10-5. It surprises me because I thought the vote would be much closer. What did you think?
Nope.
Did you think it was good?
No, I never got the sense that they were listening.
Yes, for the record, for fluoride, Mayor Fontana, Councillor Bud Pohill, Bill Armstrong, Joe Swan, Matt Brown, which surprised me, Paul Hubert, Paul Van Meerbergen, Harold Usher, and Judy Bryan, which surprised me, and Sandy White. Noes, Councillor Stephen Orser, Joni Beckler, Nancy Branscombe, Dale Henderson, and Denise Brown. So where does this group go from here? I guess they can't do anything until it's not, because Steve Orser was very passionate and said, we need to take this to public for a vote. Where does this go here? Is it after the next civic election 2014?
No. Last night's vote was irrelevant. To get to home plate in a baseball game, you have to get to first base. Last night we got to first base. We have several councillors voting to get fluoride out of the water, and that's a huge accomplishment compared to a year ago.
All right.
This battle has just begun, Steve.
Okay.
Just begun.
I'll go back. I just thought it was going to be a lot closer. Can I just do something here? I want to thank both groups. I have learned so much about fluoride and the old issue of the effects. And I have found, and Ryan, what about you? It's been a real learning experience.
A lot of information on the table, and a lot of people having trouble, though, and find it a little confusing to decipher what is right and what is wrong.
There is lots. I wish I could say both groups are right. It's just, you know, you listen to one group and you go, yeah, okay, I get it. And then the other group, and I'm glad that we didn't have to take this to a vote because, you know, these council members are elected to make the right decision. You may agree or you may not agree. But certainly to both groups, and you interviewed many of them, thank you very much for getting the information out there because they did work hard getting it out there, presenting it, and as you mentioned, you feel the fight is still going to go on.
Oh, absolutely. There are more and more councillors, like Stephen Orser, for example, adamantly against this whole notion of taking the fluoride out of the water, had an epiphany, he's come on side, and that's the story for most people.
Yeah. I'm a little different than you. I don't know what's right or what's wrong, but to both groups, thank you, and thank you for keeping us informed. It certainly is a huge issue.
Are you running for something?
No, I just felt compelled. Ryan and I were talking about this.
Is he running for mayor, Ryan, next time?
No, I don't see him running for anything.
No, because he just did the I Love Everybody speech.
Well, I do. I'm Dr. Love, and it's kind of cool to see both groups very passionate, caring about little old me, and wanting the best thing for me. Graham Paulett, I spoke many a times about the issue at hand. Dr. Brian Iwaszkowski, I've talked to some of your people. I talked to a dentist yesterday. I've listened to your show.
Okay, I'll vote for you.
You should. but I just want to make a point of this because I'm sure there's some people feel a little miffed and feel that the democracy was not well served.
He's running for something.
No, I just want to get it out there. I just want to get that out there. No, that's the way I feel. That's good.
Here's Andy Udman.
Good morning, London. It is London Today. That's the name of the show. My name is Andy Udman. It is the second day of May, and I know that some people have tuned in this morning just to listen to a grown man, 6'3", eat crow. Well, let me be the first to say right here we lost. Fair and square. All of us who've been fighting to get fluoride out of the water. Yes, last night, according to a city council vote, we lost. Am I discouraged? Defeated? Not for a minute. Folks, this battle has just begun, and fluoride is coming out of the water. Believe me when I say that. We are going to continue this war. In fact, I consider last night a victory. When we have a half a dozen city councilors who, for the most part, a year ago, had no idea about the dangers of fluoride in our water. We already have a third of the city council who have seen the light and will win the rest over quickly. Let me ask you a question. When they were fighting to ditch Vioxx, they were told by the drug companies they were crazy. Should they have stopped? When they were fighting to get rid of thalidomide, and people said, you're crazy, should they have stopped? When we fought hard to get seatbelts in cars, people told us we had no right to tell them what we could do in our own cars. We kept fighting, and we won, and we saved thousands of lives. And now we're going to do it with fluoride because it is poison. I just wish the city councilors last night could have heard one clip. It's only 30 seconds long. One clip of risk management consultant. This is a guy who studies figures, who studies studies. Over in Ireland, where they have had one of the highest levels of fluoride anywhere in Europe. Europe now has gone fluoride-free, about 98%. But in Ireland, they haven't. They still have fluoride in the water. And this risk management consultant, Declan Waugh, told us this. Listen to this 30 seconds, and if you haven't understood anything else in this debate over fluoride, listen to this.
Global average for neurological disease in the world is 6.3% of the population. And the level of neurological disease in Ireland, in comparison to that, is 17.3.
That is so shocking and so astounding. I'm going to ask you to give it to me one more time.
We have more than twice the global average of neurological disease in this country compared to any non-fluoridated country in the world.
Did I go to Ireland and grab Mr. Waugh by the arm and twist it up behind his back so he would say this? Did Pam Colleen go over to Ireland and twist this man's arm so he would say this? No. They're saying it all over the world. But they're especially qualified in Ireland because they have such a concentration of fluoride in their water. I have no guests lined up. I have no clips outside of that one. I'm just going to open up the phone lines and let you vent on this morning after City Council decided last night to vote to keep fluoride in our water. But I do want to make a couple of suggestions. I do want to suggest that if you have dental fluorosis, and we see it everywhere, you go to see your dentist and you ask him or her, what would be the cost of fixing that fluorosis? You get that bill, that invoice, and you send it to London City Hall because they're the reason you have fluorosis. And for the folks in London who cannot afford bottled water to feed their baby's formula, you buy it, get the invoice, and send it to London City Hall. Because it's very clear that it is extremely dangerous to feed your baby's baby formula with water which has fluoride in it. Okay, there's my say. We're going to take a short break, and we'll see who calls. Maybe nobody will call, and that's fine, because we've got a ton of other issues to move on. But after this long battle, we are simply going to open up the phone lines and let people vent. No guests except our most important guests of all, people who choose to call 643-1290. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, just before we get to the phone lines, and I want to take the calls in the order that they came in. Heather Gingrich is first, Dr. Paul Connett second, Bob Metz is third, and then Patrick. But I consider last night a victory for the forces against fluoride. We now have a half a dozen city councilors who have seen the light, like Councillor Stephen Orser, who has dismissed the reassurances of Health Canada, saying he does not trust its work. Quote, this is an easy one. Use the precautionary principle we use for pesticides and get the poison out of our lives. Okay, let's go to the phones. Heather Gingrich, you're up first. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Heather.
Morning.
Your thoughts.
Apparently, we are having a problem with the concept of concentration and dose, which I understand. You know, the reason why I taught rocks for jocks at Western for several years. So this is the course that the non-science students, they had to get a science credit. They ended up in my class.
Try to keep it simple.
Oh, yes. So, and this is, we're having the same problem with city councilors. We keep talking about concentration, but again, this is a problem. We need to be talking about dose. So the difference is how much of a substance, fluoride, you have in water, a liter of water. So milligrams of fluoride per liter of water, that's concentration. But it doesn't really matter because what you get determined by your body weight. So we need to be talking about how many milligrams of fluoride you're getting from all sources, not just in the water, per kilogram body weight. And when you do that, you find, which every medical professional should know how to do, and every mother should know how to do, really, because you don't feed a very small child the same amount of something that you would give your full-grown husband.
Heather, right? You've made the point. I got to ask you this question. I've suggested now that people who with fluorosis get an estimate from their dentist on what the bill is to fix it and send it to City Hall, and that poor people who can't afford a bottled water should get it anyway and send the invoice to City Hall if they're making baby formula from water.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they have the most clear legal case. So come January 2nd, I guess, 2013, when we know that it's going to be the municipalities that are 100% responsible legally for what they choose or choose not to do with their municipal water supply. So I think that everybody who's low income should maybe even get together and get a lawyer who will represent them, because this is such an open and shut legal case that this will be a way for you to get your legal expenses or dental expenses paid.
Heather, would just explain briefly, because we have to move on to our other callers, explain very briefly what law changes January 1st and how our city councilors will be personally liable for the decision they made last night.
Absolutely. It's Section 19 of the Safe Drinking Water Act of 2002, which was invoked by the province after Walkerton because the province did no longer want to be legally responsible for mistakes made at the municipal level like were made by the cable brothers. So in this case, our water engineers would be the cable brothers in this version, and they have made some errors, and everybody trusted them to do their job, but they didn't. Now, whether or not they're well enough trained is sort of something to be determined.
Heather, I have to jump in because I just have to be fair to our other callers. If you have more to say, call me back, but everybody will get 2 minutes, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Okay, I can't believe who's on the line. Dr. Paul Conant, who's been such a soldier on the cause. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Andy. First, let me congratulate you on yesterday's program. I know you've done many programs on fluoridation, but that was the best program you put together with Jerry Cooper from Toronto, from Bob Dixon, Dr. Bob Dixon from Calgary, Heather, of course, and this wonderful Declan Waugh from Ireland. And I hope that the URL for that program will go throughout Ontario. So although the London councillors may not have listened to that program, I think the rest of Ontario will. And the thing that upsets me most about yesterday's vote is the way that it's been portrayed in the media. I don't know how it's portrayed at the meeting itself, but the way it's coming across is that these councillors who voted for fluoridation were voting for science, were voting for expertise. So they put science on one side, and they put the emotional rabble on the other side, or the citizens on the other side. They put the experts on one side and the non-experts on the other side. To me, this is a total misreading of the situation. What they should be saying is, we are going with authority, and we're going to go with that authority without questioning some really common sense facts about the weakness of that authority. And what I'm talking about here is that ultimately the authority that they are bowing before is Health Canada. And Health Canada's most recent review was based upon a rigged panel of six experts. Four experts were chosen who were known to be pro-fluoridation and known to be dentists. It's bad enough to choose dentists to review the safety of fluoridation when their expertise is on teeth.
Doctor, but I hate to jump in.
To choose four that are known to be pro-fluoridation, and then to turn around and say, this is what the experts say, this is it's outrageous, in my view.
Yes, it's absolutely unconscionable. And if people only knew and understood that, they would be outraged. Let me ask you this, Doctor, before we let you go, because I have to move on to other callers.
Yeah.
I mentioned about the fight against thalidomide, the fight against Vioxx, the fight against hormone replacement therapy, the fight for seatbelts, and all the other noble battles. You can go back to slavery and all the other noble battles when there was defeat after defeat. Our Prime Minister, for example, John Diefenbaker, lost his first attempt when he decided he should run. He lost his second. He lost six times. Then he won on his seventh try and went on to become Prime Minister. This battle has just begun.
It has. And I think another example is the use of lead in gasoline. It took years and years and years for science to prevail, or rather for truth to prevail. That we have two things. Well, we certainly have one thing on our side, the opponents of fluoridation. We have the truth, and anybody with an open mind who reads the literature. And if you go back to yesterday's program, you had Bob Dixon on that program who said, I was pro-fluoridation, I read the literature, I changed my mind. You referred to Hardy Lineback, who was pro-fluoridation and read the literature and changed his mind. And then you heard from Declan Waugh in Ireland, who said he was completely neutral on this issue until he read the literature, and now he's avidly against fluoridation. So we want the truth to come out, but the truth will only come out if we have open minds. And that's what citizens in London, Ontario should be questioning today. Do our councillors have open minds, or are they just going along like clockwork toys to authority, an authority that has feet of clay, namely Health Canada, and sadly, your local health department that just goes along with Health Canada. We need open minds. You've got one.
We're going to boil this down to a really simple issue for people who couldn't care less whether fluoride is effective or not. What right does the government have to give us mass medication? That is a key issue. Dr. Paul Conant, we're simply out of time, but we will have you back, my friend, and we just salute you for all you've contributed. We consider last night a victory, and we're going to keep on fighting. Thank you so much.
I consider you a victory, Andy. Keep on doing what you're doing. Thanks so much.
Now, Bob Metz does not say things. He says things exceptionally well, but it takes him more than 20 seconds. So I'm going to be fair to Bob and ask him to just hold on. And Cynthia, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour, and we have to break for a news update. So just so I don't get in trouble with the powers that be here, we're going to take a break for a short news update when we come back. Bob Metz is first, Cynthia second. Your third, if you want to be. 6-4-3-1290. We'll be back to debrief on last night's city council vote on fluoride. More and more councillors are seeing the light. That is a victory. And we're going to run with it when we come back in just a moment right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Fluoride. They voted last night to keep it in your water, the water you are drinking in London this morning. Terrible mistake, but in democracies, terrible mistakes happen. You don't just live with them, you continue the battle, and that's exactly what we're going to do. I want to apologize to our next caller, Bob Metz, because I promised that I would take the calls in the order that they came, and I'm getting to them, but a lot of people have a lot to say. Bob Metz, appreciate your call this morning.
Oh, no problem, Andy. I just wanted to give you two thumbs up for what you've done on this issue. You're on the right side of the issue. Of that, I have very little doubt. And I have found the debate rather amusing from one point of view, because here we're listening to a medical and technical argument over what is fundamentally a philosophical issue, and that's where all the confusion is. You know, both sides were making proper points, and both sides made some serious mistakes in this issue, I thought. And on the one side, you have the people against the fluoride, who were basically relying on the precautionary principle. I don't think you ever want to use that, because that's a two-edged sword. When you say you're going to rely on the precautionary principle, it's almost like saying or admitting that you don't know really where you stand, but just in case. You know what I'm saying? And so that weakens the argument, is what I'm thinking.
Bob, give us, give me an eight-second explanation of the precautionary principle.
Well, basically, you hear it even with the pesticide issue. You know, well, you know, we're not sure we'll ban something because we think it could cause harm. When in fact, in that issue, I think it's the other way around. I don't think pesticides should have been banned the way they were. But basically, it's a way of getting out of making the decision yourself, or making a decision and placing it on some other cause, not what you know.
Bob, when I got food in the fridge that I think might have gone bad, I use the precautionary principle.
Correct, as do I, and that's why I say it's a two-edged sword. And you have to be careful with it. It's also, you don't know whether the food's good or bad. It might be good, and you're throwing out good food. So, and that's also the issue with, you know, they shouldn't have gone to the point of calling it poisonous industrial waste, which it isn't. They don't get it that way. And toxicity is always a matter of quantity over time. Water itself is toxic in extreme amounts. So that's one thing. On the other side, you've got the dentist saying that, well, fluoride prevents tooth decay. And they're right. That's true, but it's irrelevant. You know, it's like after listening to the fellow from Ireland, and that was an amazing clip, by the way, you know, the dentist might answer him, well, yeah, I know what you're saying, but what about their teeth? Right? Because when you deal with scientists and doctors, they have an incredibly myopic view of everything. It's all this mechanical morality, and your previous guest was right on target when he distinguished between science and the truth, because it's not about whether, you know, fluoride helps or hurts your teeth. We know it helps your teeth topically, but no dentist ever answered why we have to ingest it. Why do we have to put it in our stomachs, and why should we be doing it against the will of people who don't want it done to them?
One more minute, Bob.
You know? So, you know, I was just thinking that the issue that arises is that people are having trouble finding what is right and what is wrong. If I may recommend, I had the unique opportunity and privilege of having spent some time with Lord Christopher Monckton, who was in London a couple of weeks ago at the University of Western Ontario, and delivered a lecture called The Courtier's Conundrum, which actually answered the question, how can the inexpert advisor advise expertly? You can find it on YouTube, and you can also find it on my own website called justrightmedia.org.
Bob, I have to ask you before you go, and sorry to interrupt because we have just seconds left. You were talking about the issues that were not really the issues in this fluoride debate.
Yes.
What do you think is the key issue?
Well, choice. The fact that you can't, you know, what they're saying is it's government control over the water supply, for starters, and they're basically saying if we think something's good for you, we can force it down your throat through the public water system. That's absolutely absurd, just on the face of it. So if aspirin's good for you, because we're finding aspirin is good because it cuts down on all sorts of cholesterol issues and is good for the heart and all that, why don't they just load that into the water while they're at it?
I love that. If we think something's good for you, we're going to ram it down your throat. What's next?
And that's exactly how the health department is. It's becoming the fascist empire of Canada because it's government funded, and so you're going to get all these UN funded, UN directed kind of things going on, and that's what I see coming out of Health Canada constantly.
Bob, fantastic call. Thanks so much. Okay, Cynthia, I promised you'd be next, and you are. Thank you so much for waiting.
Hi, Andy. After the election, when our rookie Denise Brown was the counselor who first brought this issue of fluoride in the water to council, I had written letters to all of the counselors encouraging them to really pay attention and listen to her. And since then, I attended the meeting that was at Centennial Hall and had the pleasure of meeting I'm pulling a blank.
Paul
Connett and Pam Colleen. And I also, you know, I also spoke with the people that were there, the group who were helping to educate certain leaders in our community about the dangers of the fluoride in the water. And the one thing that they said was that they were so encouraged because they had at least one counselor on council who was on their side. And they were so proud because it was his daughter who was educating him on the dangers of fluoride. And I just had to chuckle because that daughter of his lives with me. So I am so proud of you, Andy, for keeping this issue in the media. And I am proud of all of the people who are supporting. And I'm proud of the counselors who have come forward on the behalf of Londoners to fight to get the fluoride out of the water. And you're, by all means, you are so right that this fight is not over. It has been a very big concern for me and my children. When I first moved here to London in 1999, I found out that there were very high levels of lead in our water. And my daughter, my older daughter, was in the hospital because it had affected her kidneys and she was having blood in her urine. And since then, I started buying water that was reverse osmosis water. And since then, I've found even a better system where I've bought this machine that takes all of the fluoride and every other kind of garbage out of the water. And it's through this education with my children, because they drink a lot of water, and especially my little girl.
Forgive me for forgive me for jumping in. What is the machine that takes all the fluoride out of the water?
It's, well, actually, the machine itself is not the it's the filters that go with the machine.
Right.
But it's the company Enagic. That makes this machine, and the only way that I would go back to a bottled water is because it's powered by electricity. So if we ever had a power failure, that would be useless to me.
Enagic is the name. In case
Enagic
people...
is the name of the company that makes this machine. Yes.
Okay,
and the water is called Kangen water, Kangen.
Cynthia,
and I have many friends that, you know, they have had serious health issues, and if they come over with a 5-gallon jug, I will fill up their jug for them and send it back to them. Not everybody can afford this machine, Andy.
Cynthia,
it's $4,500, and then to replace the filters, it's another cost. But I've offered it, like my daughter has to go and visit her father every 2 weekends, and I've offered for him to take the water back too. He's declined. And I see fluorosis on her teeth. She has been drinking a lot of water since she was born. And I just wish that he would listen more and wake up, because this is a very big issue.
Cynthia, let me just say before you go, I have the same machine. $4,000, I think it was. And it's called, the company is Enagic, and it produces Kangen water. And we've done a show on it. We're going to do another show. Okay, Rob Guthrie, you're next. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Rob.
How are you?
We're good.
Andy, one of the issues that has really frustrated me with the fluoride debate is that we've known since 1999 the Center for Disease Control in the United States that fluoride only works topically. It doesn't work by ingestion. In fact, the water fluoridation should have been stopped in 1999 then and there, and it shouldn't be continuing to this day. And it amazes me that we've been spending thousands and thousands of man-hours, thousands and thousands of dollars promoting a flawed public health policy. It simply does not work by swallowing it. It works on the teeth.
Yep, they just don't get it. They think we need to put it on our kidneys, and it absolutely doesn't.
And our pineal gland and our thyroid. And the argument that they make, water fluoridation is helping the poor, this is not the way to help the poor, Andy. The $133,000 that we spend a year on water fluoridation is much better spent providing toothbrushes, toothpaste, education, and mobile dental clinics that they have in other communities that can go to the poorer areas of the city and provide dental services for these people.
That's absolutely true, and I thank you for your call. Our 2 minutes is up. We're giving every caller 2 minutes. Roger, you're next. Go ahead.
Andrew, I'm trying to figure this out. Your friend Declan, you had on from Ireland. He's saying, do I understand it right, we're not supposed to thin out our Irish whiskey with water anymore?
You'd never get an Irishman saying you should thin out your whiskey.
I know. So I can't understand if this man's got some credibility in the world. What's going on over there?
Okay.
You know, the Guinness factory in Dublin uses purified water. There's no chlorine in it, and there's no fluoride either. Don't you tell me anything different, man.
There's the call of the day. Catherine, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hello, Andy. It's Catherine calling. Yes, I wanted to comment on the fluoride. I'm really upset that they voted against it. I was assuming that they probably would.
Catherine,
I wanted to give a high five for you and Pam and Callie for keeping up the fight.
Catherine, a huge victory last night. The city council vote was irrelevant. They shouldn't be deciding this anyway. It should be health authorities. We need Health Canada is who we need to target, not these.
And I just briefly wanted to say I drank distilled water for 22 years out of my own home distiller. I just recently replaced it when it broke down, and I went also to reverse osmosis. I have the Kinetico 5 system, which is $2,500. We're fortunate that we can afford to use that. I cook with it. I drink it. I drink probably 5 liters of water a day. I even take water if I go away. I bring my water with me everywhere so I don't have to drink city water, and I use unfluoridated toothpaste, which cost me about $7 a tube versus 99 cents.
And then you don't have to worry about the little warning on the toothpaste tube, which says don't swallow
right.
this stuff.
And I've done that for probably 30 years.
Wow.
But I realize that there's lots of people that can't afford to have the option that we do. And I think that that's really upsetting. I just wanted to find out from you if there's any way to find out who voted for what side on the city councilors on this issue and also on the building on Reservoir and Reservoir Hill. Is that published on your website,
okay.
or will it be put up there?
Just give me a moment. Just give me a moment here. Okay. So on the you wanted the vote on the fluoridation?
Yes. Who voted yes or no to
okay.
keep it in and for the building on that Reservoir Park?
Here's who voted the wrong way, but we love them, and it is a democracy. The mayor voted yes. Councillors Bud Polhill, Bill Armstrong, Joe Swan, Matt Brown, Paul Hubert, Paul Van Meerbergen, Harold Usher, Judy Bryant, and Sandy White. Basically taking the approach, we don't know, we don't understand the issue, we're not scientists, we're not doctors, and so we're going to trust the health unit. The yeah. councillors who voted no, including councillors, and that's why I consider it a victory last night, we've got several councillors who did do some homework, did do the research, heard some of the guests on this show, and they voted to get fluoride out of the water. Stephen Orser, Joni Beckler, Nancy Branscombe, Dale Henderson, and Denise Brown.
Okay, thank you. So okay. I'm disappointed. My counselor voted to keep it in.
Okay. Well, hey, give them time. I always say talk radio is great. Call in if you don't agree with me. You have the right to be wrong, but we'll give you time. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris and with Jim right here on London Today on News Talk 1290. Just a joke, folks. CJBK. The issue is today what it was yesterday. Fluoride in our water and how we're going to get it out. Last night, huge victory at London City Hall. Several councillors have now had an epiphany and they understand it is poison. And the faster we get it out of the water, the better. Let's go back to the phones. Chris, your thoughts this morning.
Good morning, Andy. Well, first, I don't necessarily like or buy all the fear-mongering that's going on the fluoride issue, but on the other side, I'm not convinced it's doing me any good, and I'm not convinced that it's not also doing me some harm. But all those arguments, to me, are immaterial. I don't want to be medicated without my permission. I went to the hospital. I had cut my thumb about a month ago, and I had to get stitches. And they wanted to give me a tetanus shot, and I had to sign a release form for them to give me a shot of medication. When did I sign the release form for the city to medicate me?
There's a chiropractor in London who had his son in emergency for a minor health issue recently, and they barely would let him go unless he got his child vaccinated on the spot. They even threatened to call Children's Aid. Those are some of the high-handed tactics that we're seeing in the medical profession when a majority of doctors and nurses won't even take the flu vaccine. So, Chris, it's a confusing world out there.
It is confusing. And when it comes to protecting children and things, that's a different issue. And I have kids too, right? But I'm just looking at, I'm leaving all those clouds out of there, right? Those are different issues. I'm just looking at very, very simple. When did I, for me personally, now, of course, I care about my kids and that too, but that clouds the issue a little bit, right?
Okay,
for me, when did I sign the release form to authorize them to medicate me? That's what it comes down to for me.
And that's the point they were trying to make last night. There are no, first of all, you don't have the right to put medication in my water. And secondly, if you do, you better have tests, toxicology tests, to show that the product is safe. Chris, great call. Appreciate it so much. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Andy. This kind of offshoots a little bit on what Chris was saying here. Well, my curiosity is what the legal ramifications are and who's going to be liable if there is a case where the fluoridation of the water has actually caused, you know, permanent issues with somebody. Is now council or the City of London going to be liable for those lawsuits?
Absolutely.
Because they did that?
Absolutely. Starting next January the 1st, they are personally liable. Think about it, and they could even go to prison. We've done shows on it. That is not an exaggeration. If it is proven, even a tenth of the things that we have broadcast on this show are proven about the effects of fluoride, especially on small children, they could be fined and could go to prison.
So great. So basically, I don't agree with this, yet my tax dollars will probably be going to cover off those lawsuits.
Yep, you got it. Yeah,
well, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, okay, we got it. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing I'd never heard mentioned on the fluoride thing was people with false teeth. How does it affect them?
It affects them in every other way except their teeth. You have all the negative side effects. I shouldn't be laughing because you got the fellow from Ireland talking about their neurological damage in Ireland is more than twice what it is in other countries, and it's because they're fluoride. That was meant as a joke, right? Yeah. Okay. I don't think it affects your dentures at all. Heather Gingrich, who was on earlier. Heather, go ahead.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Heather.
I just wanted to call back to challenge you a little bit. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Can we change the language about this a little bit? Because we keep talking about a battle and a war and very confrontational, when really what it's about is learning together. It's really hard to take in new information and learn about something if you're under the gun. So I agree with you in that last night was a victory in that we went, you know, we've got five counselors who are starting to make that journey and are starting to ask questions for themselves. Now, what can we do in sort of a carrot incentive kind of way to get those other 10 to, you know, I know they're probably out of school, but, you know, to keep lifelong learning,
Heather,
especially in the position that they're in.
This is a verbal ping pong. Let me hit the ball back to you. We tried that on the seatbelt issue, and we tried to educate, and we tried to educate, and we tried to educate. And finally, we said, you know what, we're going to have to pass a law. You have to wear your seatbelt. Sometimes when the other side won't listen, you have to pass laws. You have to use force. That's why we have speed limits. That's why we have all the laws we do. But I appreciate the suggestion. But Heather, when it comes to the health of my grandchildren and them drinking water with poison in it, I'm sorry.
I think we need both, obviously.
Okay,
you know,
education.
We need the carrot and the stick approach.
Education and war. Okay, 10 o'clock news just around the corner. Thanks for that, Heather. And thank you all for all the marvelous calls. And like we say, the war goes on, and we're going to win the war. We're going to keep fighting until we do. And they've won it in so many other cities, it's just a matter of time, folks. Last night's vote, totally irrelevant. Shouldn't be City Hall that decides the issue anyway. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about garbage. We're going to